Hello, everyone. We're going to get started. Hi, Kristen. All right. So what are we coaching on?
Hi. So we are coaching on the fact that I'm not getting started. So I'm an April baby.
Okay.
It's funny because I never really reached that excitement stage. I knew I wanted to do something for me, and I knew I had to change my thoughts because it's all about thoughts for me. And I haven't gotten started.
What have you done?
So I follow the rules in my head, like the 2 and 2, eating 2 to 2. I think about that every meal. I drink my water.
So you have gotten started. Let's clean up thought number one.
Okay.
Really hard to make traction when you keep thinking you haven't started and you actually have. So you're in distance, like your brain's going, I feel like we're working, but we keep telling ourselves we're not working.
Yes, that's exactly what
it is. Very confusing. Yes. Get ourselves unconfused. So you're thinking about the hunger scale at each meal. You're drinking your water. What else are you doing?
I'm doing this. I'm sleeping.
That's good.
So the big thing
you're getting coached.
I'm sorry?
You're getting coached.
Well, right now I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's think about all the things you're doing.
Okay.
We got it. Like, I want to tell you right now, one of the best ways to like really do things is to get out of the duder that we're not doing anything.
Okay. Like, yeah.
You're doing a really good job of selling yourself on your shortness.
I am. Yes. I do a very good job at that. Yeah.
That's a terrible thing to be good at.
Yeah. Right. And because I think the biggest thing is I, the 24-hour plans, I started doing them and then I realized I was trying to do 24-hour plans and then eat healthy. And so I was like planning these meals that I wasn't going to eat. And then I'd be like, why are you doing that? That's not what she said. She said, meet you where you're at. So if you're going to eat a cheeseburger, eat that cheeseburger and put it on there. So I know, I just don't, the 24-hour plans is where I'm at. And I've lost and gained the same 2 pounds for like 5 weeks.
Yeah. Because you keep telling yourself you're not getting started. Here's what you're doing.
Okay.
Picking and choosing what you want to do.
Okay.
It's a big difference between somebody who's not starting. Somebody who's not starting is like, hi, I joined in April. Where's the like first video?
Yeah, no.
I deleted all those emails you send me. I don't know where to even begin. That would be just starting. So we need to, like, this is why it's important, and I jest, but you have to be, I have a feeling you have a hard time being honest with yourself. So you tell yourself things that feel good. Like, I'm just having a hard time getting started. That sounds almost like freeing. Or like that's a problem when the real problem is like, you know what the real problem is, Corinne? I don't like being honest with myself.
Yeah.
You know what I don't want to see a cheeseburger on my plan because I know cheeseburgers don't help me lose weight. Mm-hmm. That's the exact reason why we put them on the plan. Rather than stopping the planning, we put them on the plan so we can feel shitty.
Okay.
Because you know what you're doing? Feeling really good, doing nothing.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very like, oh, it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of confused. I think I just have a getting started problem. It feels very light.
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. It's exactly. And I have an accountability partner who lives close to me and we both do the same kind of thing. Like we just don't do it. And then we say we should do it and we're trying to hold each other accountable and then we just don't do it again.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Rather than sitting around going like, I'm so bewildered why we're not doing it. You should be like, I wonder why we're not doing it.
Right.
Like, so why? I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to
I kept trying. I keep telling myself that. It was so funny because I was like, I think I need to get yelled at. Like, I think maybe that will get me started. But like, I have my planner over here. I did my plan. And
did you write one today?
Yeah.
Well, tell me what's on it.
Okay. So, eggs, sausage, and toast for breakfast.
Hey, did you eat that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
My lunch was supposed to be my leftover Chipotle bowl, but it made my stomach hurt, so I didn't eat that.
Okay. Did you eat something else?
Well, so far I've eaten a yogurt and watermelon because I was waiting for this and I don't have any food here at work besides a yogurt and some watermelon. So
that's plenty to get you through until dinner.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah, rather than saying I don't have any, I'm just going to clean up a lot of your vernacular.
Oh my God, yeah,
just so like I want you aware and I want all the other people aware. Rather than saying I don't have any food here at work, so I ate watermelon and yogurt, that's like saying like, oh, it appeared out of nowhere. It's like your brain will do better when you really start practicing just speaking the truth about the situation, like the actual. It's not like you're lying to yourself. But what happens is when you don't do it really factually, it's easier to lie to yourself, to like come up with like bullshit to tell yourself. So like just say, I have fruit and watermelon here. I made a good choice. Sounds a lot better than, well, I didn't have any food or food here. So I ate this magic yogurt and watermelon and waited on this call. Yelled at.
Right.
Do you see the difference? Like mine sounds amazing. It's like that bowl hurt my stomach. I chose fruit and watermelon because that's what a healthy person does.
Okay. So the truth. And yeah. So the other thing that I'm having a little bit of a problem that I wanted to ask you on. So I often, when I do plans, like, which has not been often, I'm not going to lie. I don't want what I planned by the time I get to dinner.
That's exactly why you should do the plans. So okay. That you can notice how often you're choosing your immediate wants and no weight loss.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like you guys crack me up. And I do the same thing with my business plan. All right. It's like, well, I really want to lose weight, but gosh, every time I see on paper food that I'm not willing to eat because I really want to eat some bullshit, rather than like working on why I'm eating bullshit, I'm going to quit making that plan because that thing hurts my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it makes me feel bad because I didn't follow the plan.
Yeah, it is like that plan can make you feel bad. You know why you feel bad?
Why?
Because your thought is, I'm better than this. Like I joined PNP to figure out how to start actually eating dinners that will help me lose weight. I didn't join PNP to figure out like, oh shit, every night I want my whims. And so what I want to do is I want to just like focus on my whims and quit looking at, oh shit, goals. Like this is so important for you to do this call because a lot of you think that the magic of the 24-hour plan is you just start following it and weight loss ensues.
Yeah.
The magic of the 24-hour plan is to get you aware of your own bullshit that's standing in your way. You have to be willing to look at it, take it in like a grown-ass woman, not judge yourself over it, and not quit over it. Because let me just tell you, there's no piece of paper in the world that can make you feel bad. If you feel bad, it's because you have made a 24-hour plan and your thought is, I'm going against my own word.
Right.
That is why you feel bad. Now, your immediate thought might be, I don't like seeing that. I can't follow this, blah, blah, blah. But what you end up making all of that mean is, I have goals and I'm not working on them. So rather than figuring out how to start working on my goals, I'm going to quit doing this piece of paper because that thing hurts my feelings.
Yes. Because I don't follow it.
It's to be an emotional adult and just be like, paper can't hurt my feelings. I need to like plan every single, I don't care if you do 100 straight plans and you don't eat one single dinner on there.
Okay.
100 times you need to remind yourself, nighttime's my problem. At some point, you'll get an ass full of yourself and you'll start figuring it out. But if you quit on doing that, then you just allow yourself to just like, all right, I'm not going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit around and be confused as to why I'm not starting. And I'm actually going to find me a Marco Polo buddy to agree with me.
Yeah, I did. We even said one day, we're like, oh, Corinne's going to tell us not to be partners because we're not.
I think you two should absolutely be partners. And I think the two of you should start holding each other to a higher standard.
Yeah.
I think you and her, this is what I would do if the two of you, I would have let's have a real kumbaya moment. Mm-hmm. Just be like, no more accepting bullshit from each other. If you don't follow your plan, you ask me why I didn't.
Okay.
What was more important than weight loss this week? Because this is what happens when you ask questions like that, is like, you know what was more important? The taste of the food in the moment. The not wanting to be deprived.
Yeah.
And what happens is you deprive yourself of your own goals. That's the ultimate deprivation. You've been in here since April.
No.
Would you, like, all of those meals and all of those times? Right now, I want you to answer me honestly.
Okay.
Are you glad you chose all of them? Or would you rather be, let's see, all of April, all of May? Would you rather be 20 pounds down?
I'd rather be 20 pounds down.
Yeah, that's why you keep writing the 24-hour plan. Because the second you quit doing it and not seeing where you're breaking your own plans, you forget the price you're paying for all of those overeats. Like, right. Every day, like, this is the thing, guys, with those 24-hour plans. You need to write it down. And you need, it's like, if you're willing to break it, you need to be willing to show up and face the music the next day. You have to pay the price for breaking your plans. Paying the price means waking up the next morning, processing it, being honest with yourself, and paying the currency of your own disappointment.
Okay.
I want to talk about that for a second, because here's the difference from what probably you're doing. Like, let me ask you this. When you don't do a plan, what is the inner dialogue? Like, let's say that, like, you're going to do these plans and you're not going to follow them for 3 straight days. What is your inner dialogue after 3 days of breaking the plan every single night?
Now, what is my inner dialogue? Like, what happens now?
No, what's been happening?
What's been happening? So when I, my inner dialogue is that I can't do this, or, you know, that you know, it's trying not to beat myself up. I go to beat myself up, and then I think about what you said in one of the videos, and I'm like, no, you're supposed to be honest with yourself, and don't beat yourself up. We're going to stop that. We're going to turn that off. And then I do it the next day, and I won't do the recovery, like the follow-up worksheet. And
why won't you do that?
Like, some days I do the plan and not the next thing. And then other days I don't do the plan. Like, one day I did a whole plan in my head and didn't write it down.
So tell me why you won't do that, though.
Why I won't do the plan or the, what is it called?
Recovery worksheet. So here's what you're going to do. It's super simple. Every day you're going to make a plan.
Every day I'm going to make a plan.
Every night you're going to assess that plan. Or you can do like I do. I assess mine the next morning. Mm-hmm. I only like to mess with it once a day. I don't like belaboring and doing it like 1,000 times a day.
Right.
Make it super simple. It's like 2-minute plan and then 3 minutes to assess from the day before. Like, I just keep my shit to 5 minutes. If I like eat off plan, it comes out in that assessment and I can get a recovery worksheet done just like that.
Right.
You know why? Because I've done about 1 bajillion recovery worksheets. I know how to do them fast now.
Right. I did one recovery worksheet in my time. One.
Okay. So now, from now on, like, I don't know if I've ever heard you think about hear me talk about Jen Saya, who's lost like 90 pounds. We had a camp one time. She was there, and so was Christy Tuttle Stewart, who at the time had only lost I forget how much Christy had lost at the time. She was like over 100 pounds, and she was on a stall. She'd been on a stall for 6 months.
Hmm.
And she was wanting to get coached and just bound and determined that, like, I was going to find some kind of like food or something. Like, she was doing all the things, right? Like, everybody is. And I said, well, how many, 6 months, how many recovery worksheets have you done? What have you learned? You know, like, I was just ready. It's like six. And I said, you ain't on a stall for 6 months and you've only overate 6 times. It's like, well, like, I do, but and she had like excuses for not doing it. I was like, Jen Saya, how many recovery worksheets have you done to lose 90 pounds? She was like, at least 250. Because if you're not doing recovery worksheets, you're not losing weight.
No.
And doing recovery worksheets doesn't mean you're not losing weight. Doing recovery worksheets means you're finding the bullshit that's keeping you from the weight loss. So you can knock them out one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee you, Kristen, you probably got 10,000 excuses, reasons, situations, foods you like, times of day, seconds of day, everything that you've got to uncover that's standing between you and goal weight. And every one of them will require, like every step is going to require a plan, a recovery worksheet, and an assessment.
Okay.
And you don't do as many recovery worksheets. You get better and better at following through with yourself because you get tired of doing them.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when somebody says, like, I was fixing to overeat, and I'll be damned if I'm going to do a recovery worksheet. So I put the food away. That's when I know it's really working, because you're teaching your brain there's a punishment for overeating. You're teaching your brain that if we just keep overeating long enough, we can quit doing some work on our weight.
Right. And that's not, I hate when I look in the mirror and I, like, just the other day I looked in the mirror and was like, God, you're disgusting. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, stop it. Like, this is not helpful. Like, don't tell yourself you're huge in the morning. Like, not helpful.
Yeah. Like, if you look at yourself and say you're disgusting, you know what I would say to myself immediately? Probably time to go do one of them damn 24-hour plans.
24-hour plans.
Like, here's my thought. It shouldn't be, oh, no, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
It can be like, you're worth doing a 24-hour plan. If you don't like what you see, then start working on it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that right there is what's going to come out in my thing, the worth it. I was in a bad marriage for several years, controlling narcissist, and he made me believe I wasn't worth it. And he was the only one who could find worth in me. So I think that that's what's going to come out, and that scares me a little bit.
That he makes you feel something?
No.
It may come out because he didn't do anything. Hello?
I got to turn my light on.
Oh, I think somebody did.
Okay. Yeah. It changes. No, that, like, I'm going to have to deal with those feelings. That's what I'm...
Deal with what feelings?
The feelings that how he made me feel that way, and then I believed it.
You need to do the model. He never made you feel anything. Mm-hmm. Never. You know what he said? A fuck ton of shit that you didn't like, and the marriage is over.
Yep.
That's all that happened. The other story you're telling is why you're eating cheeseburgers.
Yes.
So guess what? You're letting him control you now. Is he the person that you want deciding how much you weigh?
No.
Why are you letting him then? That's on you, hon.
Mm-hmm.
You're not married to him anymore.
Right.
Let me just say this. If you want, because you're not married to him anymore, if you just decide you're worth it now, you probably can just do that. You don't need his permission. But if you're going to go dig around and try to rewrite the story into this other, it's kind of like saying, I need your permission to move on. It's like, why don't you just decide? Like, I'm so glad we're divorced. I'm moving on.
Yeah, I don't want to be like that.
Yeah, don't then. The funny thing about all of our emotions and our thoughts and our feelings is that we're always in control of them. Always. Regardless of what someone is saying to us.
And why is that so hard to know, like to remember? That it shouldn't be hard.
Because if you'll start doing that 24-hour plan,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you start doing the 24-hour plan, the assessment, the recovery worksheets, the questions I'm asking you there make you start assuming. No, they start teaching you that it's your thoughts. We're not there to dig up a lot of doo-doo to make you cry.
Okay.
All of you, please hear this, who are avoiding the work. So many of you are like, I'm so afraid of what I'm going to uncover. I might feel bad because, you know, I'm going to remember terrible times in my past. It's like, no, you're going to eat a cheeseburger one night, and it's going to have nothing to do with your ex-husband. You know what it's going to have to do with? You wanted a cheeseburger. We need to figure out why you keep wanting to eat a cheeseburger instead of what your future self wants, which is smaller clothes.
Yes. Okay.
Your homework. 30 days, 24-hour plans. You're going to love July. The whole month is about, it's called giving me the gift of fat. It's my birthday month. Everybody's losing weight. I don't want presents and cards and stuff. You know what I want? I want everybody to weigh in on July 31st and be like, this was the month. I did it. And it's a super simple program. You're going to track your habits every day. You're going to write your 24-hour plan every day, and you're going to do your assessments. And you're making a commitment to yourself.
all right, 30 days, me and I'm going to get my buddy and we're going to hold each other accountable.
Yeah. And here's the thing, quit telling yourself that you haven't started or that you don't know why you're not starting or anything. The only reason why you're not doing it is because you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Don't make it complicated.
That's what I was doing. I was like overcomplicated. I'm like, why am I not doing it? What am I doing? Why am I? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right. Not. Like anybody who's sitting around trying to wonder so hard why they're not doing, either answer the question. Oh, it's because I don't have out a piece of paper. Oh, it's because I haven't printed them. Oh, it's because I keep, this is the biggest thing that I see, reason why you guys shit all over your 24-hour plans is you're not following them in the beginning. And rather than being curious as to why you're not following them and how you can start manipulating them to where you get good at following them and go against all your diet mentality, you guys decide to just quit doing them in hopes that magic weight loss leprechaun is going to come running through and do something for us.
It's so true, because I like stopped doing them because I was doing that thing in the beginning where I was like trying to plan a healthy meal, you know? And so then I was stressing myself out because I'm by myself and meal prepping is not my forte. I'm trying, but it's not my forte. And so I was stressing myself out with all these different things. And she's like, I keep trying to go back to just eat. Like if just eat.
Make a plan and just eat two to two. And then if you break the plan, be curious as to, okay, what didn't work and why? Mm-hmm. What could I do tomorrow to make it easier to follow this plan? And keep getting it to the point to where you've manipulated it into a way where it's easy to follow and you really understand showing up for it. And then once you do that, it's a lot easier to manipulate it to the healthier side.
Yes.
Now, some of you can start off with healthy and that's fine. But if that's not you, then make the healthiest choices in the first part of the day. Like, I always like to just, like, I went through, like, recently I was, like, going through my diet history and trying to figure out, like, okay, what all was I, you know, thinking and doing at different stages. And one of the things that I did was, because I was always a tweaker. Like, I just was not going, I was not the kind of person to be like, faucet on, time to diet. I mean, that's just not Corinne. And I started with, like, I kept the meals, like, my ice cream and stuff, where it was going to be harder for me to change. And so I started with the earlier part of the day because for me, I was way more motivated in the earlier part of the day. So I kept all of that and I eventually got all of that so good that it led to the momentum of changing some of the evening stuff. But what I didn't do in the evenings is just say like, well, I'm just, you know, turn off my ear to the evenings and all this other stuff. I still just consciously planned it.
Right.
And I went, like, I leaned in on the self-doubt and, like, I would have the conversation every night. It's going to be hard to lose weight eating this stuff. It's really going to be hard to lose weight. And rather than turning it off and just quitting on all of it, I allowed that conversation to stay there until I was like, that's right. It is going to be really hard. I should probably change something. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was being pulled toward the changes versus shoving myself into it, which is what you've been doing, trying to shut yourself into things rather than allowing yourself to be pulled towards it.
Okay.
Yeah. Talk nicer to yourself. That'll help.
Okay. I sometimes hear you in my head. I'm like, I would say, Corinne wouldn't like this.
And this is what I want you to do is like, Corinne has alerted me to that this is a problem and I don't like this.
Yeah.
Start saying, I don't like this talk anymore.
Okay.
Tolerate this shit for myself anymore. Just do that.
All right, I'll just do it.
I know it's like, I know you guys want some kind of magic something, but it literally is. You just have to do it. And you're going to get off this call. You're going to make a 24-hour plan and you're still not going to want to do it. Your brain's like, oh, that's some shit.
But I'm going to do it.
Yeah. But that's what you have to do. You have to be like, I really want to lose weight.
I do. I really do.
You have to do. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
I like how the lights just went off in the middle of that. It's hilarious. Okay. Let's see who's next. Linda, Laura, you're here. Simi K and Jody Stewart. I don't have y'all on here. I have Chris, Linda, and Laura. If you weren't selected for this call, will you lower your hand? Because if I call on you and you don't have your camera on and stuff, I'll be upset. And then, hang on one second. I always like when I see someone I know, I'm like, hey! If you are Chris or Linda, will you please raise your hand? Okay. Well, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I cannot believe it's you. Yes.
You can hear me.
Yeah, you know I got to ask about your daddy first, though, right?
Oh, my gosh. Best Father's Day ever. Yes.
Just so y'all know, her daddy was full of drama at the 2-day.
He still is, but I am not anymore.
Thank you. See how when you change your thoughts, you get to feel better?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry, I'm looking down on you because I'm in my car. I'm in the middle of my work day and I had to get out of the people place. Yes, so I had Father's Day dinner with my dad and I kind of switched things up. Normally he cooks and drinks too much at dinner at his house when he invites me over, which gives like private audience for him to spew craziness. So I took him out to a restaurant where he had to be in public and it was like it set a time limit on everything. He told the waitress that I was the manager at the donut shop and I blew it off. And that was after that, I think he hurt himself. Like he just always makes mindless comments and I always take him too seriously. So
yeah,
moved right on, moved past it. It was like no big deal. And it's been much easier.
Good, good. I'm glad because it's always easier for you to work on your own life when you're just really focused in your own lane and not in somebody else's lane. So, well, what are we coaching on today?
Yeah, so I'm coaching on Pilates today.
Okay.
Because that's been the one thing that has always historically helped me. Part of my weight gain accelerated after discovering I had 2 herniated discs.
Okay.
I've always historically been very athletic. So for me to not be able to jump on a spin bike or do something intense and active is started after doing enough of the sheets, I realized I started thinking of myself as a sick person.
Oh, okay. That's a good insight.
It really started to impact even my willingness to even think about working out at all. And I had broken my foot way back when and gotten a Pilates back when I was at a more manageable weight and injuries didn't impact my ability to be physical. I got a Pilates video and it totally reshaped my body. And I started doing it like 3 weeks ago and it started to work. And then I just stopped and I got out of the groove and I couldn't get back in the groove. And I think I just got off schedule. I got busy at work.
Why don't you just get back on schedule?
Yeah, I was using the class that I was attending with you. I was like, oh, I better get on that Pilates before I attend Corinne's workshop or else I'm going to feel like, you know, a tub. And I didn't do it before I got to your workshop. And I did it this morning. This morning is the first time I've done it. But I did do it. And it's a block. So I was on the call last week or earlier this week and I heard Amber call, which was super helpful. And you were talking to her about her compelling reason. And since that call, I've started to realize that maybe initially I was thinking I was scared of the Pilates. Like I'm scared of the solution that I know will work.
Okay. What do you think Pilates is going to do for you?
It's going to make me feel more flexible and it's going to help me sleep better. And it's going to do a lot for me. It's almost like physical therapy. Considering my injuries and where they're located and how that happens.
Okay. Well, your head's in a good space on it. I was waiting to see if you had some kind of like weird thought and stuff, but no, your head's in good space. Those are like reasonable expectations for Pilates.
Yeah.
Anything else that I need to know?
I just get freaked out when I think I know something's going to help. I immediately push away from it.
What is the worst that's going to happen with Pilates? Like, what is it that's freaking you out?
I don't know, but just you asking is making me cry. I don't know. What was the question?
You said doing Pilates freaks me out.
Because it works and in my own control and I can do it in the privacy of my own house and it's just.
And that's freaking you out that like you like Pilates? That's not freaking you out. And when she, go ahead. Why are you crying? Let's put it this way. Why are you crying?
I think it's just hard to admit that it's my own fault.
What's your own fault?
Like, I feel so disconnected. I've always been athletic. I've always been social. I've always been part of a kickball league or, you know, martial arts classes. I was once almost a spin instructor, like CrossFit, you name it. And I'm so full on disconnected from anything physical right now that I feel like I've lost a huge part of myself. And Pilates never felt particularly challenging, and it's not a group sport, and it's not out in public. It's too expensive for me to do at the gym. So I have my little, like, whatever at home, but it's all on me.
Well, and I want to point out, there's just because you were at the two-day, I was looking for something like that. One of the things that I love about you, but that is also going to be, like, a trend that you're starting to transition a lot on, is that when you were at the two-day, you were what I call the emotional child. You thought everything and everyone was responsible for your feelings. You had not really conceptualized or even understood. It was like you could almost watch the little mushroom cloud go up in your brain like, what? Like, my thoughts control how I feel? This is news to me. No one told me. And then by the end of it, I could see it. And this is why we had some progress on your dad. Same thing is kind of happening here. Pilates is just a symptom of touching on, oh, shit. Who I am has always been me. It was not my back injury. It was not my broke foot. It wasn't even the athletics. None of that. It was always a series of choices I made from my own brain, which also means like the good, which is like, you know, when you were an athlete and you did all this stuff, it was all coming from your own brain because you loved it. Your thought was, this is who I am. Now, Pilates is touching on who you want to be that you might not be able to be anymore. So then when you do Pilates, it's not that it's the Pilates in a schedule and like, oh, Corinne had a workshop and all this other stuff. It's like when I do Pilates, a core belief inside of me is I'm not who I want to be. That's why it's upsetting. That's why we cry about it and stuff. And I think that's what's going on for you.
Well, and I also don't think I know who I want to be. Like, I've been always measuring up to other standards from other people.
Right.
I hide behind, you know, real estate success. It's like my one claim to fame. I can always hide behind it.
Well, who do you want to be? If you could just, here's what I would do, Laura. And this is, I'm kind of in this space right now. You're in this really weird space of you get to be whoever you want to be. Don't know quite who it is right now. And it's really scary. Because once you decide who you want to be, there's also the work of being that person. A lot of us run from that.
I'm running like mad.
Who do you want to be?
Not the girl that comes home. I sit on the couch. I have so much time. I have so much time and freedom. I've like absolutely nothing holding me back.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's why it's even harder when you have nothing holding you back, but yourself.
I don't know the right questions to ask myself to figure out who I want to be.
There's no more complicated question than who do I want to be? If you could just let's just put it this way. If time, money, social acceptance, injuries, no matter what, who would you like to be? Like, just dream for a minute without it having to be right.
Like, I know the things I like to do. I know I like travel. I know I like to spend time with my nieces and nephews. I know I like to, you know, road trips and music.
But there's a difference. Like, when we're talking about who you want to be, like, for me, I know who I want to be. I want to be healthy in mind and body. Like, to me, that's everything. Like, when I think about, like, what's my purpose here? Why am I even here? It's always like, it comes back to, I want to be healthy in my mind and body. I want to be the person who helps other people believe in themselves by being an example of that, so that I can feel proud when I finally check out of this joint. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be right either. When you start, like, a lot of times when we start asking ourselves about our purpose and why we're here and who we want to be, our brain seizes up because it wants to be right the first try. Like, there is a right answer. There's no right answer. There's going to be the answer today, and you're going to try that version of you on for a little bit, and it's either going to feel right and it evolves and develops, or it's going to be like, that's not quite right. I want to finesse it.
Something as general as, like, healthy in mind and body feels like a theory to me, though. It doesn't, that's something that's so, I mean,
it may be too general for you, but for me, it sets the tone for everything.
Right.
Because, like, when I'm deciding, you know, like, what I'm going to eat this week, it's got to hold up to the standard of being healthy in my mind and body. If I'm going to go on vacation, it's got to hold up to the standard of being healthy in mind and body. I'm going to, you know, get up at 5 a.m. It's got to hold to that standard. That's the point of having, like, the reason why you're feeling lost, the reason why you're having, like, you're like, I don't know about this Pilates and everything. I don't think you know who you want to be right now.
Well, and, Well, so Dante, got to bring him up.
Dante.
You know, the ex-boyfriend that cheated on me, I was convinced we were going to get married and have kids. And I felt like once that relationship was over, so was my ability to have children.
So what if he's not?
Well, that's the thing, is that I never have been like a clock is ticking in my mind kind of a person about having kids. Like, it's not even like that's been my lifelong dream. But I feel like I've been stuck in the mentality of, I'm at an age where all I can think about are the things that I can't have anymore.
Well, and that's the reason why you don't know who you want to be. Because if all you're doing is going back to your past and figuring out all the things you can't have, you're never going to, like, you're not doing the active work. Your brain is working on something. This is the thing about the brain. It's always working on something. Right now, it's working on all the things that you have decided are no longer available to you. Here's what I would do.
Those are the things that feel the most real to me right now, are all the things that I can't have and all the things I can't do.
Well, I think what I would do is I would question every one of them. If I was you, I'd make a list of, here's all the things I believe I can't have. And I would, like, cross-examine it. Is it really true? If I was going to have to, like, look at it from a whole new perspective, is it absolutely true? And am I acting like I can't have it? And, like, do I even want it to begin with? A lot of times, because we wanted something in the past, we kind of spin out. Like, let's say, like, this kid thing, right?
Yeah.
Let's just pretend, like, right now you just don't even want kids. But you keep saying, you know, and, you know, Dante and all my dreams of having kids went down the toilet. It's like, if you looked at it and you're like, okay, I can't have kids. Is that even true? It's like, well, not necessarily. Nobody knows when another man's going to come in my life. I could adopt. Like, there's, I could also assume, like, I could be an amazing mother to someone else's child. Like, my girlfriend can't have kids, and she literally takes out, like, 2 to 3 different kids a month that are friends of her, like, her friends' kids. She takes them out for tea. She takes them out to do fun things that the mother doesn't want to do because she's, like, stuck with a kid. She's always the fun one. And in her mind, this is what she says: this is always the opportunity for me to practice mothering. Because she's never going to have her own child, but that doesn't mean she doesn't get to be a mother. But she has decided this. And anyone gets to decide anything they want to feel any way they want. But then you look at it and you're like, well, do I even want kids? Like, why am I sitting around here feeling terrible? It's like, if somebody was to drop a baby in my lap, I'd be like, no, thank you. Kind of like my life. Like, it's that questioning everything you believe. So start with the things that you think you can have. Make an exhaustive list and then go through it, question it as if you could have it and how, and then decide, is that even shit I actually want? Or am I just using that as smoke and mirror distractions against identifying what I really do want and it being scary going after that?
And then eventually you start thinking about what you do want as a result?
Yeah, you will. Once you clean that shit, once you do that part of the process, you've exhausted your brain on distraction. It's distracting you right now with like, oh, there's all the things you can't have, and let's just sit around and feel like shit and think about it all night long and not do Pilates, and because couches are easier. That, what you're doing, is easy. You know what's hard? Questioning it, identifying it, deciding if you even want it, and being like, okay, well, that's all done. Now I need to like say, who do I want to be? Like, if you really want to be an exerciser, you know what that means? What? You got to fall in love with Pilates. Get your body straight. It also means you have to divorce the version of you that was a CrossFitter. You have to let that part of you go and not indulge in it and not use it as an excuse and blame and convenient to sit on the couch and not do Pilates. It's a lot easier to be like, oh, but I used to be this person, than it is to be like, put the damn tape in and let's go. We now do Pilates. You see what I mean?
I do. Immediately, I think, like, when I did, I went to a fitness camp in LA for 28 days. I went to martial arts in Thailand for 4 months. I did.
Yeah, but who cares?
But it was always an extreme. It was always like a...
Who cares? Like, you tell me why it's even relevant to now.
Because I never have, for all my accolades and all my bullshit, all the great things I've done, it was never a day-to-day representation of me. And I feel like I'm stuck day-to-day with myself. And now that I don't have the ability to, like, buy the ticket, go on the thing, and do the whatever... I'm stuck with myself and I don't.
Yeah, you're stuck with yourself. Here's the thing. You have a thought. I'm stuck with myself rather than who better to be with than me right now? Because this is the version that's going to take me to the future. Like, this is why I keep saying, so what? So what about all that stuff? That part's over. It has nothing to do with today. You keep trying to make it to do something about today, but it has nothing to do with today. You know what today has to do with? Are you pushing play tonight? This is why I want you to like write the list of all the things that you can't have anymore, because you are with yourself. And if you will start really being with yourself and looking at all the things you think and do models, do that module 4 of no BS like a boss, you will be the best companion to be with rather than feeling like you're stuck with someone you don't like.
That's where I feel like I am.
Yeah. It's because you're holding yourself to a standard of someone who's done. That version of you, she had her time. The next version of you is waiting for you to get off your ass and create her. She is like, come on. I'm fucking tired of sitting here waiting on you.
I'm bored.
Yes, I'm bored too. We're all bored. Let's do amazing things. And it doesn't have to be big ticket 28-day camps and stuff. You know what amazing things can be? Learning how to fucking like yourself so that when you're sitting alone at night, you enjoy it. Because you've done the work on how to like you and how to figure out what the next version of you is going to be accomplishing and doing and loving and thinking rather than mourning this other version. Hell, she was never that great. She hurt her back. All right, lady. You know what your homework is. Go through, before you do any of this, I want you to go through module 4 one more time, and I want you to listen to the Fat Girl Thinking module. I want you to really listen to how to do the models. And then I want you to watch the call, and I want you to literally do the exercise that I had for you. And you can take it to Ask Coaches, too, and have them help you through this.
Okay.
This will be some empowering-ass work, I promise.
Okay.
All right. It's good seeing you.
Thank you so much. You too. Thank
you. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. At the 2-day, we talked about Dante and can't remember the other guys. It wasn't Darren. It was, the other lady had a husband who had a D name too. And we just kept bringing them up. And they were just like, oh, Dwayne and Dante. They were like the poster men for all things wrong in the world. All right. Is Chris Hetrick here or Linda Haycox? Are either one of you here? If you are, raise your hand. I need to unpause this. Up to 153 when I was down to 149.9. I'm following the protocol and I know I have to keep going. But the illogical part of me keeps thinking that I'll always be at this weight and has a hard time believing I can be fit and thin and get back to 125 and 130. Okay. I keep feeling doomed that it's my large frame and that I'll never be thin. Tell me why you want to weigh 125 and 130.
And I know you've heard this a million times already, but I think it's just, I weighed that before. I felt healthy. I wasn't.
Did you feel healthy because you weighed 125 and 130?
I think physically, yes, but maybe not mentally. I know.
Everybody repeat after me. When I feel healthy, it's because of what?
Mentally. Exactly. Yeah.
What I'm thinking about it.
What I'm thinking about.
What did you think?
When I was thin or now?
125 to 130, what were you thinking?
I don't even remember. It was years back. I just remember I handled it like day to day. I wasn't using food to comfort me.
Yeah, because you felt healthy. But what were you thinking? Like, you don't need to feel like you're not going to need food to comfort, which it doesn't, but you didn't need food when you were sitting around thinking healthy-ass thoughts. Right now, you're probably thinking unhealthy-ass thoughts. It has nothing to do with your weight.
Yeah, I struggle a lot with a fixed mindset versus one of growth. Like, I think yesterday, this is so embarrassing to admit because I know it's not about the food. So like, if I just take away the food for a moment, I think I spent hours looking up like women who have broad shoulders and how thin they can look versus me who's more curvy and stronger. And I keep thinking I'm always going to be fat.
Yeah. Tell me why you want to weigh 125 to 130. It's not because of healthy. Otherwise, you'd be looking up healthy people. Like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. You're looking up all kinds of other shit that says to me that healthy is not your compelling reason.
Mm-hmm. I think there's both. There's the superficial reason, right? I want to look great.
That's not superficial. I just want to hear your reasons. Quit judging. Like, you're in such judgment. You're even judging your goal. You're judging what you think about your goal. You're judging what you used to think. And now you're judging what you ate yesterday. Yeah. It's like, just imagine for a minute, there's no right or wrong answer. There's just the sentences that go on in your brain. And when we identify those, I can help you.
Okay. So I want to look super hot. I want to be fit. I want to look just want to look amazing. I want to be able to install habits that will get me through stressful periods in my life and not be, you know, out of control. I know that I want to have children soon, and I know that I want to be able to have those healthy habits so I can maintain myself through pregnancy and get back to normal and live a life and have time for other things versus just obsession over food. I want to pass those things on to my children because I don't want them to spend their life obsessing over the things that I have.
Yeah. So you want to be hot?
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to boil it down to this. I want to be hot. I want to be healthy. And I want to be a good example for my kids.
And I want to be hot after I have children.
You want to be hot. Let's just put it this way. Hot has come up a lot. You're Googling. You're like saying, oh, I'm looking up this stuff. But it's really like, no, it's because I want to be hot. I want to know what hot people look like. I want to know all about these hot things. Is hotness available to me?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, first of all, it's a lot easier to not eat for comfort when you're just really honest with yourself about what you want. So much of my whole journey, and including my maintenance and why I shave my head and all kinds of things, is like, I want to be hot. Like, I love that part. It's the fun part. It even makes you smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I do. I want to be hot. I'm not going to lie about that.
Well, good. And I want you to quit lying about it to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm really like digging these days. Making sure that we all understand why something is so important to us. And then loving the fact that that's our reason. Because the more intimate you can get with that, the more in the moments when you're like wanting to eat whatever you want, you will say no, because that it will be worth it. But like, if it's something airy fairy, like, you know, well, one day I'm going to have these kids and, you know, I want to be healthy for these kids. Like in the moment when you're having a bad day and food's calling, you'd be like, fuck them future kids. I mean, you got to know your reasons. So now here's the other thing. You don't want to be controlled by food. And you don't feel good about yourself now. And so the biggest thing is, how do we start feeling better about ourselves now so that we can get to where we want to be? Like, I have without a doubt, like, you're trying to figure out a way that, like, I can't weigh 125 or 30. It's like, that is the most irrelevant point. It's like, can we feel hot no matter what?
Yeah. I think I go through moments of feeling hot, I guess. And I don't know if this even makes sense. I'm confused. There's like multiple thoughts about this or feelings about this, but at times I feel hot enough that I don't want to, it doesn't motivate me to get to where I really want to be. I get comfortable. I get lazy. And right now, and ultimately I'm still not happy with my weight, but I feel hot enough. Like, you know what I mean?
You're looking for your feelings to motivate you. What motivates you?
Feeling wise or
actions motivate. Okay. A lot of us think that we're like, I'm like, I think what I need is to not like myself enough to feel motivated, because if I start liking myself, I lose my motivation. That's not what happens. Yeah. Don't lose motivation liking yourself.
Yeah.
Like yourself, and then you use excuses and you stop taking action, and then you feel less motivated.
Yes.
Yeah. Liking yourself will always be it's going to fuel the action you need. Your problem is you're doing more self-loathing, and that's the problem. Not that you're not liking yourself enough. In the moment that you, let me ask you this. Does most of this, I'm good enough and liking yourself, happen right before you eat?
Right now it's happening all day. I'm being triggered. Not that I'm not trying to be a victim, because I know this is my own thoughts and no one can make me feel this way, but I'm struggling with it a lot more than I normally do. And food usually, so I'm being like hyper-vigilant with my food. I think I'm being hyper-vigilant about everything in my life right now. But food usually, if I'm stressed or if I'm overthinking something or if I'm nervous, yeah, I'll just pick up the chips or I'll pick up this and I'll eat, and I've been aware of it. And I was just so happy when I saw my weight shift a little bit. And then like, I had one off day, and I know I didn't eat 3 pounds worth of food. I probably just had some sugar, and I'm sensitive to sugar. I have a sugar face. Like, I bloat super quickly. And I'm like, seriously, like 153 again. And the pattern that it makes me recognize in my life is I'm always waiting for shit to fuck up. Like, I am addicted to unhappiness because I'm so scared that.
Okay. You're not addicted to unhappiness. Here's what I want you to think. I have thoughts that create my unhappiness. We got to tamper that down a little bit. I'm going to tell you right now, thinking that you're addicted to unhappiness is never going to serve you. And it is just a thought. You know how I know you're not addicted to unhappiness? Because you told me you ate for comfort. If you were truly addicted to unhappiness, you'd seek it out like a banshee. It would be like meth.
Then I don't know why I can't get rid of the negative thinking, not only of myself, but.
Honey, you're not going to get rid of your negative thinking. Ever. Here's what I want you to think about. If you didn't care about your negative thoughts, would you care that they came in?
Probably not.
Right. We just did a podcast. I'll give you the example that we're going to use in the podcast. Usually at least a few times a week. I mean, you know I'm married, right? Okay. So, and do you know much about my marriage? Pretty good marriage.
I know you have a son who says amazing things, but not more than that.
Okay. So my husband and I have been married. It'll be like, well, this is, here's terrible wife syndrome. Let's see. My son's going to be 17, 18 years. He's like plus one to Logan. That's how I always know. Be 18 years. We've known each other for 20. I think he's great. Like I do. He's never given me any reason to doubt him. He's just a good dude. The three guys I dated previous to him all cheated on me. There is not a week that goes by. At some point, I do not either think or ask him, are you going to cheat on me? Do you think I really believe Chris is going to cheat on me? Or do you think I just have this like bullshit thought that comes in and I'm like, here it is again. Why is this so upsetting?
Because I'm sabotaging a really good relationship because of the same thing. I feel like I'm going to get betrayed again.
This is why it's so important. Do you do the models?
I think I'm trying to do too many things at the same time. And I'm so overwhelmed that I don't get anything done. I've enrolled in this relationship coaching thing. I just keep throwing my money everywhere, trying to fix myself. And I know it's just going down just this really bad rabbit hole. And I keep comparing myself to his ex. I keep comparing myself to all these things and just waiting for something bad to happen like it did before. And it's just, and it's triggering the insecurities I already have about my body image. Because I know it doesn't matter, but she was very thin. And I've always had issues with my weight and my body and my family, just whatever, crap, right? But when I saw pictures of her and I saw how thin she was, and then she had two kids and she was still so thin, it's so triggering for me because it's the one thing I struggle with so much.
Who is this person?
My boyfriend's ex. My boyfriend's like, I'm not with her anymore. But I got cheated on. And I remember when I got cheated on, I looked amazing. Like, I remember the therapist told my husband at that time, like, if you can't F her, because it was a cold marriage and I wasn't listening to my instinct that something was wrong. I was only 24 and I'm Indian. So in our family, we don't get a divorce. Uh-huh. And I tried to help, and she's like, if you're not attracted to her now, you're never going to be attracted to her because it ain't getting any better than this. And it turned out all this time he had this sex addiction, he had all these things, and logically, there was comfort knowing that it wasn't me, but I think subconsciously it always stayed that I was never going to be good enough. And so now I keep thinking, like, you know, if my boyfriend says anything about the fact that I'm very curvy, but he likes the curves, and I'm curvy even if I weigh 125. Like, you know, I have more of the hourglass figure, which I should be happy about, but everything, I'm so hypervigilant about everything he says, everything she was versus me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm driving myself insane.
This is what's going on. At your core, you don't love you.
No.
So when you don't love you, start seeking evidence of how unlovable you are. And you, if you can't find evidence, you create some. It's like, I'll show you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to overeat today, because people who aren't loved have weight problems. Like, you start creating everything that you need in your life to keep the story of being unlovable true. That's all that's really happening. It is not that you aren't unlovable. Like, and I really want you to hear me when I say this. And this is, a lot of people have this problem. It is not that you aren't unlovable or that you are messed up or any of those things. It's that you think you are. And you're not doing enough work on proving to yourself anything different. It's like, oh, I keep thinking these things, so now let me go and make sure that I reinforce all of it. And then I want to feel bad that I even think these things to begin with. All the while, what never happens is doing the work of learning how to love yourself. And then you become desperate to fix yourself because you're looking for something outside. Yeah. Problem is, there's not going to be a weight on the scale, a man, or a program, or a queen that's ever going to be able to do the internal work for you. There won't be enough of us if you never ultimately believe in you. So I think, like, one of the things, first of all, is just understanding that your brain is always going to go first for a while. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. Like, he cheated on me. It must have been me. I'm gaining weight. It's because I'm like, I got problems with food. Like, there's always something wrong with me. It's like, you gained 3 pounds. Like, just, I would just tell myself all day long, it's like, I gained 3 pounds. I can take them right back off. The only reason why I gained 3 pounds is because I ate. And in order to lose 3 pounds, I don't have to be hypervigilant. Just get back to work.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's, even when I saw the 3 pounds, the first thing was, yeah, something's wrong with me, you see. And then I tried to change it, right? It's just not natural yet, but you're right. It's, something's wrong with me. And then I'm trying to tell myself, no, it'll come right back off. But it's just not strong enough, you know. Or when I see the tension in our relationship, I think it's something's wrong with me. When it's really me creating the tension because I'm comparing myself to someone who doesn't even care.
That's
about.
Why I think it's really important for you. Like, if you were going to spend your time doing anything, it's literally models for you. Models, models, models. Get good at the model.
Okay.
Do a lot of thought downloads and a lot of modeling. Did you do the self-love course we did?
No, I didn't.
When did you join?
I know a little bit about self-love. I'm trying to do some stuff, but I do think I need to get better at that. Like, I started volleyball, dance. I love dancing. But
those are actions. This is what I'm going to, like, I want you to see something very interesting that just happened in your brain. When I talk about, like, did you do the self-love course? Like, you said, well, I don't really understand the concept, so I'm going to go busy myself with things outside of me, see if I can create love for me. Self-love is always generated on the inside.
I don't think you can do that. I think it's like, you know, when you read a book and you understand things, I mean, you think you know things, but you just don't know how to feel it because you just
don't know.
And I'm so frustrated because I don't think I'm getting any better.
Let me just tell you, it always feels worse before it gets better. First step for you, though, is literally understanding that the way you feel is always because of how you're thinking in the moment. make the connection to how you think and feel first without changing it. Oh my God, all of you, please hear this. Because a lot of you, like, you're sitting there and you're looking at her and you're like, tell her something so she can feel better right now. Give her the magic thought. Like, she needs it. No magic thought. I don't have it. Just party's over, everyone. But this is what we need to do. Before you get to feel better, you have to take total ownership that I have thoughts that go through my brain that are very well practiced and have been around for a long time. And they got, the groundwork was laid over several different things. So there was probably things from childhood around your weight. There was this husband that cheated on you. There were all these things that your brain reconciled. Something's wrong with me. Like, shit's not working out right. It must be me. I'm the only common denominator. That's what our brain does. It is not because something is wrong with you. But you really need to kind of see all these thoughts you keep having. And what I want you to do is get more good at before you are in a rush to change them. You will feel so much relief from understanding, and these are the things I'm thinking, and that's why I'm feeling this way today. It's not because something outside of me has to give in order for me to feel better. Because if something outside of you has to give, you got to work on changing the world. You got to change your weight. You got to change your relationship. You got to change all these things in order for you to get to feel better. And that is just the long way to go. It's the hardest way to go.
I'm so exhausted.
It's exhausting.
I hate myself for not getting work done right. Like, everything. I'm just like, the whole day passed and all I did was obsess about all the things that are wrong with me that I need to fix. I don't know how much money I've spent on programs I'll never open.
Yeah.
Because
I want to program fast right now. Don't do any other fast, but go on a program fast.
Yeah, I need to go on a program fast.
This is one of the things, I will give you an action line. This is what I tell people. Like, I tell my coaches this all the time. They're always wanting to learn new things. I'm like, you don't get to buy a new program until you finish the last one. Ever. Yeah. I don't ever buy a new program until I've finished my last one. That's why I'm so good at what I do. I make myself do shit.
You're talking about that. So, Corinne, what made you want to bring up the fact that your past partners had cheated on you?
And in this scenario?
Yeah, you brought that up earlier, which for a moment I was just like, oh my God, how did you, you know, because I do know a lot of things come from that, from betrayal even more than cheating, because he never left me, right? He just wanted me to stick around and watch him do his shit, which was not going to happen.
That was my first husband. Like, I've only been married to Chris and this one guy. I eloped at 18.
Yeah.
The world's largest.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah, like, maybe it was the same guy. Who knows? But, like, douchebag central. He was screwing my best friend behind my back. And then he just wanted me to kind of stick around. I'm like, no. I'm just saying, this isn't going to happen. But no. Here's the thing. The reason why I brought it up is because what I wanted you to hear is that a long time ago, I was cheated on. And my brain decided that men cheat. It's just a matter of time. Like, it, like, men to protect me.
Control. I keep thinking they don't have some control either. Like, he's going to give in. He's going to give in.
Yeah. Like, your brain, the only thing that happens is when something traumatic like that happens is your brain is like, that was really painful. We should make sure that from now on, this painful experience never happens again. So the next time you're in a relationship, rather than it just happening, we're just going to worry a lot beforehand. It's just trying to protect us. It's the way our primal brain works. The reason why I brought it up was to show you that, like, I have thoughts like that, but I don't cry and yell at him and think something's wrong with me and all this stuff. I used to, but what I learned was, is like, I may for the next 50 years have a thought every day, Chris is going to cheat on me. If that's going to be the case, I got to quit believing it, because it's just a thought. It's like I call it neurological junk. It's like just some of the carryover junk from past relationships. It's going to come through and it's going to have to just go on. But I can't stop my life. And I might not ever be able to stop the thought, but I can stop believing it. That I can totally do myself. It is the same thing with like body image work that I do. I promise you, after 14 years of maintenance, if I don't have better thoughts by now on the regular, the thoughts that I do have are probably going to continue to come. But what I don't do now is eat over it, cry about it, hide. I just don't. If y'all saw the skirt I'm wearing today, y'all would know I must have done something with my legs, because this thing is literally showing my hoo-ha underneath the desk. I used to never even wear shorts. So ashamed of them, because I would have thoughts about my legs. I would believe them. I would feel bad. And then I would only wear pants in the summer. And it was terrible. And so now I have thoughts about my legs. I don't believe them. I just decide this is part of me now. And I show my legs.
How do you stop believing that?
Because it takes time and practice. The way you stop believing them is when the thought comes in and you notice you're feeling like there's stages to it. I wish I had my damn whiteboard. It's in the other room. There's basically like three stages to stopping believing a thought. Number one is you get really good at catching yourself in the action of believing a thought. So if you think about the model, there's thought, feel, act. Number one is like when I feel bad about my legs, I notice that I stare at them in mirrors. I think shitty things. I wear pants. You know, it's like there's certain things that I notice that I will do. And when I catch myself doing that, I'm like, we're not hiding from our legs. Like, I just have these agreements that I have with myself.
Okay.
The second phase is you start feeling a certain way. So I wake up in the morning, see my legs. Some thought will come through, and I will notice that I'm feeling self-conscious, or I'm feeling shame or regret. Like, I've identified feelings that I associate with my legs, and I know what those feelings feel like. And I'm like, what are we even thinking today? Like, that's not it. And so I make myself think, this is what we have today. I love that thought about my body. This is what we got today. What does a healthy person do? What does a fit person do? What is, like, whatever you want to have for your thought, like yours was, what does a hot and healthy person do when they wake up and they've gained 3 pounds? Do they cry? Or does a healthy, hot person who's gained 3 pounds, what do? They get back on plan. They drink some water. They go about their day knowing that they can take weight off whenever they want to. And then the last phase is thoughts. Like, I have certain thoughts that I know will come through my head about, like, my legs, like, those scars are like shit today. Like, you know, or you're looking rumply today. Those are amazing ways to start the morning. And when I hear them, that's when I go back to, someone who's fit and healthy doesn't think shit like this.
Yeah. What if there's another underlying part of me that is afraid of changing those beliefs because those beliefs have protected me? Like, I know I need to change those beliefs, but at the same time, I'm just like,
tell me, well, how they protected
you. If I didn't doubt things, I would have never caught him. If I would have just, you know, if I become carefree, I'm going to get screwed over again. Because
tell me how, like, so what are you, what is the opposite of carefree? What are you having to do that's like, if I'm carefree with him, is that what you're talking about? Carefree with your boyfriend or carefree with your food or what?
My life. I think the food is just a representation of how I handle a lot of things in my life, right?
It's a convenient distraction is what it is. For most of us, our like diet life becomes the part we can control.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I can eat out of control and then create a problem to not think about this problem so that I can just work on this problem.
Exactly.
So what are we talking about though? When it comes to the doubt, if I like doubt protected me.
So opposite of carefree would be cautious. So I feel like if And obviously when I'm overly cautious and I use food, right, or whatever, like if I feel out of control. So that's
how you want to be in this relationship. Is it really the dude, like if you could like solve this one thing, would it really help things or?
Forget, like even if it's him, if he's, it's being triggered a lot more because of him. But I'm like this with everything. Like everything is so intense in my life.
Tell me, like if you could pick one feeling to feel like about like just your life in general, you would like to go through life feeling what?
Grounded.
Okay, grounded is good. So why are you picking carefree?
I think I feel that the times, I don't think I know entirely what grounded feels like. I've had grounded moments, but I've never just been grounded.
Well, just tell me, like, what do you think grounded would feel like in your body?
Grounded in my body would feel, you know, a sense of like calmness. I think there is control to a certain degree.
But yeah, you feel in control.
Yeah.
These are other feelings though. Like if you were like, if you were sitting and you were like, if I felt really grounded right now, how would you feel like in your body? Like physically? Would you breathe easier?
Yes. I'd breathe easier. I think I'd have this interesting dynamic of feeling light and also anchored, so heavy at the same time.
Like sturdy, maybe?
Yeah, sturdy. Feel okay. Sturdy but light.
So I want you to know that because it's really important so that in the moments when you're feeling that in your body, you can ask yourself, am I feeling grounded right now? What thoughts, let's just take two scenarios. If you were grounded in your, do you want to pick food or body image?
Body image.
Okay. So if you felt grounded in your body image, like this is my body and I feel very grounded, what would you be thinking?
I would be thinking, if I felt grounded in my body image right now, I would be thinking that even if I'm not happy with where I'm at, I still have my back.
So and I have my back.
I have my back. So that's also one of the like quotes of the day or whatever thoughts of the day that I wrote. I would have realistic expectations of myself and think about, okay, how can I take care of my body today? And, get to my goal in small pieces. Like how do I get to the goal that I need to in small pieces without punishing myself, but being good to myself? I know that wasn't perfect. I shouldn't say punishing, but how can I be good to myself today? I know you're like, you're self-loathing like crazy.
Well, that's why I'm letting you just talk because yeah. You're hearing it yourself now. And that's the whole point. I want you to hear when you're self-loathing and like you were auto-correcting, which is a good habit to have of like, maybe the better questions, like when I'm grounded, I'm thinking I have my own back and that makes me feel grounded in my body. And when I'm grounded in my body, I ask myself better questions. I ask myself like, how can I make weight loss easy today? I ask myself like, how can I love myself today? I dismiss my negative thinking throughout the day. I practice not attaching to everything that I think. In the moments when it all starts, when I don't feel grounded, I take a 90-second pause and remind myself how I want to think and feel about myself right now. That's the work I want to see you doing. And I want you to do the same thing in your relationship. I want you to think about, if I feel grounded in my relationship with my man, it's because I'm thinking this.
Yeah.
And anytime you're not thinking that, remind yourself of those statements. And how do I show up in my relationship when I'm choosing to feel grounded? I think that's one of the things that's really important for you to just get out of this whole conversation, is that right now you are at the effect of all your thoughts and your feelings, and you're not choosing the ones you want. And you get to do that because you're a human. Your unconscious brain is the one just sending up the normal stuff. And it's going to continue to send up the normal stuff. It's not going to stop. We just need you to turn on the part of the reasoning brain, which is like, okay, incoming doo-doo. Reasoning brain takes over and says, you know what? I get to decide what I want to feel today. And today I decide to put my brain and my heart to work on feeling grounded in my relationship and my body. And to do that, I'm going to think and remind myself of this actively today. And anytime I'm not feeling this way, is my body telling me something is amiss? It's time to redirect back over here. A lot of times I think what we get into the habit of thinking that like our neurological junk shouldn't be there. It's like, it's supposed to be there. It's supposed to tell you like, hey, you're off course. You really wanted to feel grounded today. You wanted to feel in control today. You wanted to feel proud, whatever those things are. Something's happening in your brain. Time to autocorrect. Let's do that. That's all that's happening. It's not because you're not good enough. It's not because you're broken or that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I like that. I'm going to remember, I think the one for sure, at least today and these days that I'm very triggered, is like, to know that I don't need to attach myself to those thoughts. Yeah. That I can choose that, but just because those thoughts come up, it's not my intuition warning me that something's wrong. It's just a thought. Like, I gotta let it go. Nothing's wrong. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about dudes. They're gonna cheat on us or not. No amount of worry or carefreeness is going to affect how they decide to think and act. We should just enjoy the ride, because it could be a long time. Like I always tell Chris, it's like, reason why I kind of got over that was because it's like, hell, we could be married 50 years and you could never cheat on me. But if I spend the next 50 years worried that you're cheating on me, I think I screwed myself. I cheated on me and our relationship. Or he could cheat on me tomorrow. In the last 2 years when I haven't worried about it, I wasn't wasting my time. Because I'm guarantee you, whether you worry about it or not, if he cheats on you, you're going to be just as upset.
Yeah. And I, for me, there's a lot of sense of responsibility to it. And it's irrational, I guess, but it's there because my family loves to scare the shit out of me. And
well, don't give them the pleasure anymore.
Yeah. And it's like, if you screw this up, we can face the community. I mean, my dad, it's been 10 years since I've been divorced. There's people he hasn't even told I'm divorced because he's too ashamed of it. And so it's like, there's all this pressure, like, you know, you better stay committed. They still don't, I don't think they felt that I should have left him.
Yeah.
You know, and
dude, if I was you, this is what I would do.
So much pressure, you know, I'm like always looking for certainty everywhere. Like, you know, I can't afford any more chaos and I'm causing my own chaos. But sorry, go ahead.
Get on a coaching call about that. Get on the coach's office hours and talk about that, because you need to let that go. Your parents, that's their own belief systems and they're entitled to them. Yeah. A lot of people be like disagreeing with me on this. It's like, no, you know what? Here's how I know this is never going to help you. It's because that is their belief systems. They're entitled to have them. They're probably not going to change them.
Yeah.
But you can for sure let them have it. And be compassionate. It's like, yeah, that's how they were raised.
Yeah. And I think I've done that. But I still feel like I will lose them again. Like, I worked really hard to accept what had happened and forgive and not justify things. And it's just like, if something happens again, there's this guilt, like my dad will have a heart attack, my family will be in ruins.
Yeah.
It's all my it's going to be all my fault all the time. And
yeah, that's that junk you got to like let go. We just got to decide right now, shit's going to work out pretty good. Let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about bad things. If bad things come in, we'll handle it. You handled all this other stuff. You'll handle this too.
Yeah. No, you're right.
All right, Lainey.
Okay.
You have a fan club over here, by the way. Oh my God.
Oh. I'll check it out right now.
Happen to anyone, even gorgeous, hot Indian women.
Trust me, we got issues.
All right. It's good talking to you. You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
All right, everyone. That's it for today. That was a good call. Dear Lord, I didn't realize we'd have such a juicy one right at the end. You guys have a great one. I will see you. What is today? Wednesday? Oh, yeah. We have Q&A tomorrow morning. So I will see you tomorrow morning for Q&A. And then my ass is headed to Vegas for the weekend. Bam! And then that's why I got the fresh haircut. So I'll talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.